Contractors no less than federal employees can relax now that Congress and the administration managed to keep the government open for business. Luckily, some processes never hesitated, such as a training session for contractors recently staged by the General Services Administration. I talked about it with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners.
Well, this was actually the second session that GSA has put on in consecutive years after years of taking a hiatus from its well-known GSA Expo show. And I think the agency deserves a lot of credit for bringing this training session back, albeit on a smaller scale. There were, by my count, over 3,000 people from government and industry who came together last week in Huntsville, Alabama. There were literally dozens of career track training classes offered, mostly for government contracting professionals, but also for contractors. In addition, we had a return of the showroom floor this year with over 100 GSA contractors being able to show their wares and talk to prospective customers. All of this, I think, is a good thing. It's a good thing to get people together to talk to each other, to get them out of maybe their normal business routines and have a chance to meet away from an office setting. It's also particularly important to make sure that government buyers are properly trained and kept up to date on what might be changing with GSA's programs. So I want to give the agency a thumbs up for having its training symposium in Huntsville, Alabama. There are some discussions about whether and when to hold a similar session in 2018. GSA has my support for doing that. I think the bottom line is you want to be where your customers are. You want to make sure that you're engaging your customers and that you're providing some opportunities for your contractors to see both you and their customers in different venues than a traditional business setting allows. So,
do they pick Huntsville because it is the polar opposite of Las Vegas or something?
They picked Huntsville because it is the home of the Army Material Contracting Command. In fact, we had the head of the Army Contract Command at Redstone Arsenal speak at the event last week, along with the Deputy Commander of the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command. Those are Army bases that are right there in Huntsville. GSA itself has a strong presence in Huntsville, not just supporting the Army, but helping various NASA organizations that are also in Huntsville. So a smaller town, a smaller venue, but a very high concentration of federal workers.
And what sorts of training topics does GSA or its designees give to federal contractors?
Well, that's a great question, and it's the type of topic that, if you're not a government contracting officer, might put you to sleep, and yet we're talking here about people who control the expenditure of taxpayer dollars. So it's topics like how to best use GSA's OASIS program, how to best use the multiple award schedules program, what to do in a cost-plus environment, you know, what rules have changed over the last couple of years on how you buy professional services, so things of that nature. We really get into the nitty-gritty types of training that warranted contracting officers and their colleagues need to have if they're going to not just do the jobs that they have today, but to get the training they need to take the next step up the career ladder.
But does GSA also give advice and training to contractors themselves?
There was a contractor track in Huntsville last week, and again, I think most people said that those training sessions were better organized and coordinated than they had been in previous years. They were things like what are the elements of a proper GSA schedule contractor teaming agreement. That was a very good session. There were basic questions for new contractors on how to understand the multiple award schedules program. And yet there were also sessions on new things that were coming to the information technology schedule so that contractors could plan appropriately for that. You know, information technology schedule continues to be the largest single GSA schedule contract. In addition, there were some discussions about what GSA is doing with category management, particularly in professional services, and what that might mean for contractors. So whether you were a new contractor on the block or somebody who had a little bit of experience, GSA made an attempt to put together training classes that could meet you where you were.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and I must imagine that overlaying that entire week was thoughts of what's going to happen with the federal budget. Looks like between the continuing resolution bills going and the general tone of the negotiations that that won't happen, but I imagine contractors must have been thinking about it, and so must have the contracting officers.
Well, certainly contracting officers and contractors alike, Tom, were thinking about what to do with their budgets, and they're anticipating that federal agencies will have appropriations for at least the last part of the current fiscal year. We'll probably find that out in the next couple of days when Congress either passes an omnibus catch-all type spending bill or reverts back to a continuing resolution effort for the rest of the year. But the odds-on betting is that we're going to have an omnibus appropriations measure that will allow for new project starts. Right now, only really the Department of Veterans Affairs and people in military construction have been able to use appropriated dollars to start new projects. So we've had kind of a, I wouldn't say a slow year, but a year where if you were relying on appropriated funds to start something new, you haven't been able to do that yet. It looks like that's about to change, and that's a good thing because you think about critical government missions like cybersecurity, national defense, providing basic services like veterans benefits, Social Security, Medicare, those types of things. We're all better off if agencies have actual appropriated dollars so that they can have those programs run efficiently and make needed updates to their operations so that they continue to deliver the services that the taxpayers expect at a reasonable price.
And the other issue when there's a shutdown is that for services contractors that are not doing critical things, say cybersecurity operations center, but many other services, they are interrupted also. But that lost revenue, they never really do get back, do they?
No, if you're a contractor working on a government contract during a shutdown, not only do you not go to work, you never really get paid for that. Was that time when the government was shut down? You have to kind of understand that as a contractor, you're at a risk. And if the government doesn't have money to pay you, they don't pay you. Even if 5 days later they now have money, you don't get paid for whatever amount of time the government was shut down. Good news, Tom, is doesn't really look like that's going to happen this time around. I know people like to talk about it, and it certainly has happened in the recent past, but I think we're going to have a reasonably happy ending to this year's fiscal discussion, albeit one that comes 6 months after most people would really like to have seen it.
But the good news is now we get to figure out how to deal with the Buy American directive coming from the Trump administration.
Well, Tom, what you're referencing here is an executive order that the administration sent out last week. And I use the shorthand Buy American / Hire American to describe this executive order. And it's one of those executive orders where I think there's less there than meets the eye, particularly on the Buy American side. Simply put, there are already dozens of rules and regulations, even laws that stipulate that federal agencies should give a preference to American-made goods or just outright only consider American-made products in given circumstances. I'm not sure what an executive order adds to that, and maybe it's a reminder that federal agencies should be following the rules that they were already supposed to be following. But it also, I think, opens the door for confusion because there are a host of different Buy American rules. There are different ones for commercial products than there are for goods made for use in the Department of Defense, for example. There are different ways that different Buy American Act provisions are applied. And let's not forget, the biggest thing is there's an exemption for commercial IT from the Buy American Act. And that was an exemption that went through the regulatory process, and it's been on the books for over a decade now. this executive order doesn't undo that, and yet you can see where it might cause some confusion. My recommendation is that the contracting community needs to be aware of this, understand what the executive order does or really doesn't mean, and be prepared to take an uncertain customer through the buying process.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. We'll have a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.